This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Earlier this week, we heard from one of the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings, Adrienne Haslett Davis, a professional ballroom dancer. She told WBUR's Robin Young, calmly and in a matter-of-fact kind of way, about the moment that altered her life forever.
I remember telling a lot of doctors that I was a ballroom dancer and that it was extremely important that I kept my foot, that I could still feel every toe and move every toe. I woke up and I didn't have a foot anymore. I didn't have a left foot anymore.
Adrienne Haslett Davis is one of 14 people who lost a foot or a leg or both legs in last week's bombing attack. While recovery will not be easy for many of them, the advances in prosthetic limbs can offer them a lot of hope and help. Nobody knows that better than Hugh Herr. He's director of the Biomechatronics Group at the MIT Media Lab. Herr lost both of his legs when he suffered extreme frostbite during a climbing expedition in the White Mountains. Since then, he's dedicated his life's work to reinventing the world of prosthetic technology, and he joins us now to talk about it. Hugh Herr, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello. Thank you.
You were quoted in our Common Health blog just recently as saying, if a person has lost a leg in the Boston attack, they could, given current technology, walk or run across the finish line in the Boston Marathon this time next year. I find that astounding, but of course it's true, right?
It is true. It would require motivation, of course, and athleticism. But yes, with current technology, it is in fact possible.
So bring us up to speed, and let's talk specifics. Among the things that you've developed, the world's first powered ankle-foot prosthesis, what does this do for people, for example?
The powered ankle-foot prosthesis, we call it the Biome. It's offered by a company called iWalk here in Massachusetts. It emulates the capability of a biological leg. It has a muscle tendon-like motor system. It has computers on board. It has sensors. So it has its own intelligence. And as a person walks, it adapts to their needs. If they want to go faster, it gives them more power. If they want to go uphill, it gives them even more energy and power.
I've heard you talk about some of this technology, and it's truly mind-blowing. For example, an app that programs your own body, in a sense. Am I describing that correctly?
You are. We have an electronic handheld pad, and just by touching the screen, you can make your bionic ankle stiffer or softer, or change the energetics, giving you more energy within your step. It's quite remarkable.
Mm. Hugh Herr, can you talk about the long-term prognosis for patients with legs amputated? And let's say, for starters, below the knee. What does the future look like for them?
Well, as you stated in introducing this piece, I myself have below-knee amputations. Both of my legs are amputated below my knee. So when I stand, I'm supported entirely by these bionic structures. With me personally, I walk, I run. In fact, I climb mountains. I basically am able to do what I wish to do in life in a physical sense.
Mm.
So a person's, if they're generally healthy and they have a below knee amputation, their long-term prognosis is very, very good.
Are we already at a point where artificial limbs surpass in some ways the functionality of a natural limb? I mean, for instance, you mentioned your own case. Are your prosthetic legs better in some ways than the legs you lost?
You know, one can always focus on advantages. If both of your legs are amputated, you can be any height you want. I'm not fearful when I walk through grass of getting bit by a snake. The current technology, the bionic technology, it normalizes the amount of energy, food energy, that I need to walk. It normalizes my walking speed. I'm still not as stable as a person with biological legs, but it's just a matter of time where technology will solve that problem as well.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about this sort of timeline and what technology will bring. I gather a little more challenging is the case of both legs being amputated above the knee.
That's correct.
But do you predict that technology will catch up with that challenge?
It will. We're seeing a tremendous burst in and research and development in the area of prostheses. There are people, researchers around the world working on limbs that emulate biological limbs, neural implants where there's a communication, electrical communication between the body and the external bionic device, ways of attaching machines to the body mechanically so it's healthy and normal. Mm. This profound research effort is leading to advances that we see, you know, every year. Things get better and better.
So it brings to mind this. I mean, one of the harder stories to read about, particular child who lost her leg. But in a sense, the future might be brightest for her among the people who are injured because she'll sort of inherit this technology as it evolves as she gets older, right?
That's true. 20 years from now, the technology that will exist will make today's technology look prehistoric. Because of the rapid upward trajectory of innovation.
So what does that mean in reality? I mean, what do you imagine 20 years from now this technology will be able to do?
Well, with, you know, using my own body as an example, 20 years from now, I will probably have superior balance compared to my age group. I'll probably have the balance of an 18-year-old. I'm 48 now. I'll walk with less energy. My prostheses will be so extraordinary that they'll actually be transportation devices, like a car is a transportation device. So I'll be able to walk and perhaps run with less energy than a person with a biological limbs.
Hmm. Finally, I want to ask you about cost. This obviously is very, very expensive technology. Is it available to the average person who gets wheeled into an emergency room and finds their life altered in such an extreme way?
The bionic foot ankles that I am now wearing are, for the most part, today available. There's some effort required in the reimbursement steps. As we progress into the future, the more and more bionic devices will be covered by insurance suppliers. A key point that I'd like to make is the bionic limb is more expensive on a unit-to-unit basis than a conventional low-tech technology. However, because the bionic device eliminates limping, it eliminates stress to the muscle skeletal system, it therefore eliminates secondary disabilities, such as knee arthritis, hip arthritis, low back pain. And because of that, you can actually reduce the healthcare expenditure across the lifetime of the individual with bionic technology. So it's actually less money.
Less money in the long run. Fascinating and hopeful news from Hugh Herr. Thank you so much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Hugh Herr. He's an associate professor in the Media Arts and Sciences and Health Sciences and Technology Programs at MIT. He's also director of the Biomechatronics Group at the MIT Media Lab.